What we're dealing with here, littering air, is a complete lack of respect for the law.
And smoke in the reef.
Called the dust pop.
We live in a society of laws.
Dust pop?
Yeah. No, it's not real.
This thing of weed.
Takes one shot a weekend of training to get that bag.
Hello, ladies and gents. Welcome back to the Police Academy podcast. This episode is all about the DC protest slash riot slash rally, whatever the hell you want to call it, that happened on January 6th when people entered the United States Capitol building. It's a crazy world that we live in, and we need to talk about that. Yes, I am 3 days late to this party, but I think the best news is the news that gets it right. Also, this is not a news podcast per se, even though we like to cover these things as soon as possible when time permits. So before we get into it, I must remind you, if you're not a member on our Patreon page, go check that out. We just did a great interview with Thane Gallagher, former U.S. Border Patrol agent. He was with Border Patrol for over 20 years, and prior to that, U.S. Coast Guard as well. Great conversation, over 2 hours long, very Joe Rogan-esque style interview. Thane's a very easy person to talk to, and very well spoken, and has just a crazy experience in his professional career. So many crazy experiences, rather. So go check that one out. If you want to get it now, you can get video and audio versions over at patreon.com and obviously our site at patreon.com/policeacademypodcast. So there's that. And if you are a member and you're not on Discord, I'm putting this in here because I think that some of our members aren't aware of the Discord service or attachment or whatever application. Privileges. That's the word. Privileges that you have as a member. If you haven't signed up for Discord as a member, go do that so that you can be a part of the conversation that's going on between all the members and also be able to communicate with me in real time. Just go to your profile settings and go to apps, and then you'll be able to connect to Discord that way. Okay. Patreon.com/policeacademypodcast. If you want to support the show, that's how you can do it. You can also donate at the website, policeacademypodcast.com. But we definitely encourage everyone to go over to the membership site. We have memberships from the point where your checkbook, or who has a checkbook anymore, your bank account's not going to notice the difference, up to, our top tier where you get our Tumblr and all, full access to video content and all that stuff. So there's something for everybody. And, if you love this show, and more importantly, if you want to support law enforcement in this country and across the world, then I encourage you to go do that, because you are certainly doing that by supporting what we're doing here. So go check that out. Patreon.com/Police Academy Podcast. All right, let's jump into this. I was supposed to be on with Patrick Fitzgibbons again. He had an emergency that he had to deal with, so no Patrick today. We'll reschedule that one, but I still have plenty to talk about on the DC protest riot rally thing that happened on January 6th. So let's jump into it, and I'll see you all on the flip side. All right, so initial thoughts and observations on this. I will start by saying, anyone who is telling you they know exactly what happened here is delusional, or they're lying to you, right? There's a lot of narcissistic people out there who think they know everything, or think that they've got, they're the only ones who really see what's going on. The reality is none of us really know what's going on, right? We're talking about a country of 350 plus million people. To suggest that anyone knows everything that's going on and driving situations like this, or even in the midst of the actual event, right? What happened at the actual event? If anyone suggests that they know for sure the secrets, the secret motivations and what really happened there, they're lying to you, and they're delusional. possibly narcissistic or they're just morons. So I am not that person. I want to talk about some of the things that I noticed in this incident, compare and contrast it with, for example, the Black Lives Matter rallies that have been going on for years now, because that's, you know, the mainstream media is doing this. So I think that the only reason I am comparing and contrasting it is because the mainstream media is doing their thing. Some just astonishing hypocrisy and gaslighting that we have to point out and just talk about the insanity of what happened there. So number one, I'm starting this episode with some caveats because I know that some people lose their minds. I know most of our audience is, you guys get it. You trust that I'm going to take a look at this from, you know, as an objective point of view as anybody, and that I'm a truther, that I'm looking for truth. And I appreciate all of you, our longtime members who stick around because they trust that I am going to give them, that I'm going to give you a very logic and fact-based analysis of what happened here. That said, I have not been scouring the internet since the 6th. It's the 9th today. I have not been sitting on my phone or my computer researching every single detail of this. But, you know, I've watched plenty of videos. I've seen the reports and stuff. So I'm not at expert level on this specific incident, but I definitely know enough to have a good conversation about this. And there are a lot of things in life that you don't need an expert to tell you. If you understand human nature and you understand how factions work, how large groups of people move and are influenced, you don't need me to sit down at a computer for 3 days straight and look at every single angle of every video related to this incident to tell you some of the things that for sure are happening. Now, that might seem to contradict what I said earlier about how I'm not going to tell you I know for sure. I don't know for sure everything that happened, but I do know for sure some things that are going on right now in this country and that were going on at this event. So we'll get to those. A couple other caveats though. This was wrong on its face, right? Protest all you want. That's as American as it gets. Your right to free speech is sacred. Because of our Constitution, because this is a country of the people, for the people, right? The government is supposed to serve us. The right to protest is extremely important and has to be protected. But there is no right to trespassing. There is no right to destruction of public or private property. And I've been consistent on this. Everyone that I listen to, any of the pundits out there that I listen to, have been consistent on this. They've said this with Black Lives Matter rallies, and they're saying it now. This was wrong. These people should not have been where they were and destroying property or assaulting police officers, right? That's wrong. But we'll talk more about that. The president and other, political actors leading up to this and their rhetoric was wrong in many ways. They were wrong, right? So there was definitely some inflammatory language. Absolutely. I am not, I've never been a quote unquote Trump supporter, right? I am much more well-informed than most people when it comes to what the administration has actually done amidst the fact that they've been basically essentially persecuted throughout the entire 4 years of his office, but he still got a lot of shit done and did a really good job. But I'm not a pro-Trumper by any means. And one of the things I like the least or hate the most about him and his presidency is the fact that he acts like a child on Twitter. He gets people riled up for no reason and is absolutely inflammatory when he could easily be unifying. Now, Obama was the same way. He just was very slick about it. Obama was at least as divisive as President Trump is, but he did it in a way that you had to pay attention. He was so smooth. And props to him to be able to pull that off. But to say that all of a sudden we have this divisive president and it's Trump that has put us where we're at right now is not true. It is not in touch with reality. It ignores the past 12 years, at least, of American history. And is a very, I'll say, it's just a blind, one-sided perspective. We'll get to blindness. I'm going to talk about color blindness in this episode as well. A little redefinition of that term. All right, so the language leading up to this by Trump and by many others, I think 100% agree with many out there who are saying this was wrong. I'm so tired of Americans hating other Americans, and I've been guilty of it as well. But I know I keep saying in a little bit because there's a lot to talk about here. But I think once you acknowledge one of the things that I do know is happening right now in this country, it makes it easier to not hate the quote-unquote other side. There's always been another side to, there always will be another side to politics or any policy issue, right? There's always, when have we ever all agreed to do something? Even on the most basic, seemingly obvious, yes, we should definitely do that issues, there's always someone who disagrees. So this is not, you know, new. This is a constant in human nature. But once you recognize this thing that I'm going to talk about in a minute, it makes it easier to go, I'm not going to hate the person or supposed person on the other side of this. Just if you're online, you don't even know if it's a real person, but, yeah, we'll get to that. Some other caveats. The actions taken by these people, again, were wrong. And some of these people were just regular Trump supporters, regular Republicans, not far right, right? There were people. So the mainstream media is just calling every person involved in this Trump supporters, which is the most hypocritical and bullshit narrative that they've come up with yet. But I am acknowledging that they're absolutely, most likely, just common sense tells you that there were some regular Republicans, conservatives, and just average Joe Trump supporters in here doing some of this stuff. Okay. We'll get to how that can happen because that doesn't make sense given what Trump supporters believe in. But how did we get there? We'll talk about that in a second. All right. So those are mostly my caveats. I'm not going to apologize for anything I have to say here. I'm just pointing out that, listen, like, I don't know 100% what happened here, but we're gonna parse out the things we do know that happened and point out some of the things that might indicate or give us a clue as to what's going on. Four people died in this incident. First, I want to start with the U.S. Capitol police officer that was killed. Because if we're going to rank these things on levels of tragedy, this is at the top of the list. This officer's job, you know, is to protect the Capitol and the properties around the Capitol. You know, I've seen these officers, I've talked to these officers. They're essentially, no offense, they're essentially security guards in the Capitol. And this was the day that you did not want to come to work for one of those officers. Officer Brian Sicknick, I believe I'm saying that right, 42 years old, died after he was bludgeoned with a fire extinguisher in the head, from what I've read. Wednesday, this is a quote from the New York Post, bludgeoned with a fire extinguisher Wednesday when President Trump's supporters broke into the building in a failed attempt to block certification of President-elect Joe Biden's victory, end quote. So we're just grouping everyone into this, you know, label of Trump supporters. Cool. But in any case, Officer Sicknick died because someone beat him over the head with a fire extinguisher. The next person that died is Ashley Babbitt, the woman that everyone has seen that was shot by purportedly a U.S. Capitol Police officer as she, it looked like she was about to go through a window. Ashley Babbitt, I believe she was from San Diego, 35 years old, 14-year veteran of the Air Force. She went on four foreign military tours, including Iraq and Afghanistan. She's a veteran by all intents and purposes. It appears a patriot, right? This is a woman who served our country for a decade and a half, served four tours, and I don't know what she was doing now in her civilian life, but she's not the child molester, Antifa. She's not of that ilk. I'm referencing one of the guys that Kyle Rittenhouse killed, who was, as he was defending himself. This is a whole different kind of person, right? That is just astonishing. And so let's watch this video real quick. There are several different angles of this incident. This one is from the Washington Post and really kind of shows how this all went down. It's about 2.5 minutes long, so all right, so that shows Representative James McGovern. So you got some legislatures in there right there. Cops are blocking the door still. So some of the protesters are saying, chill out. They're trying to calm each other down. There's Ashley. One of the protesters just said, we don't want to hurt you. We would just want to go inside. They're basically trying to convince these officers, hey, we'll let you out of here. We just want to go inside.
There's a gun! There's a gun! There's a gun! Hey, he's got a gun!
So that's Ashley jumping up to go through the window. All right, so first, it's hard to watch. That was Ashley dying, essentially. I think she was shot in the neck. She was probably dead within the minute there. Second, what those police officers did standing in front of that door was hard to watch. I will always allow for the fact that I wasn't there. I don't know what the experience level of these officers was. They looked pretty young. And what was going through their minds? And I kind of suspected this was part of the weirdness of this incident. Because you see police officers kind of, you know, there's a point where an officer is taking a selfie. Or, well, someone takes a selfie next to an officer. And the officer kind of like poses for a second. And people are freaking out about that. There's a video showing an officer coming out to the crowds outside the Capitol as they're kind of breaking through the fences. They've already broken through. There's hundreds of protesters already past him, past this officer. And the officer comes out and is like, come on, you know, come in, basically. So initial reaction to those videos is like, what the hell? Like, what are these officers doing? But this video kind of supports my initial instinct on that. And that is that these officers are completely overrun. They're outnumbered. These guys have their backs against the wall, literally, well, door, but backed up to this door that's barricaded. They have nowhere to go. And there's a mob of people up against them, right? And these people are saying, hey, we don't want to hurt you. We'll make a path for you to get out of here. We just want to get inside. And that does seem to be, if there's a primary motivator, it seems that these people wanted to get inside, or at least the, what I would identify as the just very patriotic, conservative Trump supporter kind of people. They wanted to get inside and say, hey, we disagree with what's happening. We feel like this election is being stolen and we're going to do something about it. We're going to come in here and confront these legislatures face to face, legislators face to face. I know some people are going to be like, yeah, these cops did the right thing. Some people are going to say that was, you abdicated your, you know, you broke your oath, right? You violated your oath by doing that. I'm not going to say either. I'm going to say these guys are probably terrified. They're probably thinking about, hey, what options do we have here? These people can, you know, beat the shit out of us or kill us and get through anyways. So I guess they're letting us through. So we're going to leave. I'm just kind of spitballing here. I think that's probably kind of what was going through their heads. Was it the right choice? I don't think so. I'm going to go with no on that because, but then again, the counterfactual is impossible to predict, right? What would have happened had they stayed? Those officers might be dead. I don't know. And that may be why they chose to take the blue pill, and, you know, kind of step aside. But when they did is what, you know, their choice to step aside is what allowed for what actually happened to happen, right? They start breaking the windows and, you know, someone hoists Ashley up. Looks like she's about to go through the broken window of this door. And there's a police officer standing there with a gun. You know, early in the video, you see all these legislators standing there. They're still right there. These Capitol police officers, I mean, this is going to be a justified shooting. You know, I talk about the justification of the use of deadly force all the time. It's not very hard to argue that this police officer was protecting the lives, was felt that there was a clear and present threat to his life and the lives of those inside those halls if he would allow anyone to come through that door. It was barricaded. He had his gun out. I'm going to assume he was giving plenty of commands, hopefully he was, to these protesters saying, get back, you know, whatever, right? Very easy to prove that was a justified use of deadly force. So these officers stepping aside allowed that situation to happen. Then again, though, the person filming this video is yelling. And maybe Ashley didn't hear him. Maybe Ashley didn't see this officer off to the side with a gun pointed at her. If she did, I mean, she's extremely brave. I'll give her that, even if it wasn't wise. But the guy filming the video is like, he's got a gun, you know. And she gets shot. And it's a tragedy. Not to be cold about it, because it's terrible to see someone she's beautiful. She seems to be, you know, a good American citizen, a veteran. She's my age. Probably has a lot going for her. And there's her family and friends are probably no doubtly hurting, very, very much so right now, because she's dead. You know, I'm sure she didn't plan on getting into an armed conflict that morning when she got up. Like I said, maybe she didn't see the officer with the gun. But at that point, I always say this, again, not to be cold, but play stupid games, win stupid prizes. Not a good decision. And I wish she hadn't had to pay with her life for that bad decision. Kind of the way the cookie crumbles sometimes. And I would say the same thing. I have said the same thing about, you know, Rashard Brooks. Stupid game, stupid prizes, right? He tried to tase a police officer. He got killed. Jacob Blake, paralyzed because his dumb ass fought with some cops with a knife in his hand, refused to drop the knife, and they shot him. Rightfully so. Stupid games, stupid prizes. You push the limit far enough, especially with armed police officers, especially in the United States Capitol. I was about to say this is sacred ground, but I don't know if that's true anymore. But this is a place where you probably shouldn't be forcing your way into, especially when it's full of the legislators trying to verify or confirm a presidential election. That's a recipe for disaster. And it was obviously a disaster for Ashley, and it's terrible. And so there's plenty of other videos, I'm not going to show them here, of her being treated and taken out, and she is clearly dead as they walk her out of the building. Or appears to be. I won't say clearly, but she definitely looks like she's gone already. Another adult female and two males died of medical emergencies. I don't know how the hell that happens. Three more people, what, just fell over of heart attacks? I don't know. 50 police officers were injured. And that number surely is low. Lots of cops are going to have bumps and bruises and scrapes and not say anything. And one officer is killed. We already talked about Officer Sicknick. All right, so I understand that for many, and not this, I'm not talking about my regular audience, but there's plenty of people here who are not used to this show or only watching because of the topic, but potentially, or somebody shared it with you. I understand how, especially with the intersectionality of our culture and politics today, you have to check certain boxes to have an opinion on certain things, right? Can't talk about anything related to women if you're not a woman. Can't talk about race stuff unless you're a minority or preferably black. So I understand that a white dude sitting here talking about this protest might be ignored by many of the lemmings out there. Well, first, this is why so many people are pissed off. They've been labeled and ignored because of their skin color, something that they have no control over. Which, you know, I've talked about this many times in the past, but that's my issue with the idea of white privilege. I understand the argument in certain ways, but in the end, you're saying because you were born the way you are, you have things to apologize for. There are things that you have to do to atone for the way you were made. You had no choice over, right? I thought we had this figured out in like the 1980s. I was born in the 80s. And from the beginning of my life, as far as I can remember, I was always taught and I was surrounded by people who, by all appearances, believed that you treat other people, individual people, with respect, and it doesn't matter what they look like, that it's wrong to treat people differently because they look different. We had this figured out a long time ago, but now somehow we've reverted back to this idea that a white dude's opinion doesn't matter because he's the bad guy. Sorry that I was born the way I was. But if you listen to this show, you know that I don't really care. And I'm going to say what I believe to be true. Not what I want to be true, but what appears to be true based on the facts and evidence. That's what I do. That's my shtick. So that's what this show is about. Secondly, people, especially in the Democratic Party on the left side of the political spectrum these days, have become colorblind. And when I say colorblind, it's a bit of a redefinition, right? So as I grew up, I truly didn't ever think about race, right? So I was kind of that stereotypical colorblind person. And I thought that was a good thing. I thought that treating everyone the same was kind of the goal. But then realized that that was wrong because I was white and I had to be aware of the fact that I had all these privileges, right? So that's like the traditional definition of colorblind, that you just see everyone the same, and that's now bad. Well, when I say colorblind here, in reference to the left, the Democratic Party, the mainstream media, what I'm saying is that these people and the narrative that they espouse, they are so, the lens that they see the world through is so tainted by race that they are blind. They can't see any incident or any issue or have any conversation without race infusing itself in every aspect of it and getting in the way of actual logical, reasoned discourse, of actually being able to build an opinion that relies on facts and logic and reality, other than, you know, rather than basically throwing the race card out every time something happens that you don't like. That's what I mean when I say people have become colorblind. And yes, it is predominantly the left side of the political spectrum. I am not, I'm not far right. I am definitely right of center. When it comes to politics, I do not identify as a Republican, and especially as a quote-unquote Trump supporter. I already talked about that. So I understand that there are a lot of colorblind people out there who just can't even, aren't going to be able to listen. And okay, you're lost to me. I don't care. You can't reach everyone, and I'm okay if people are that stupid. to look at life through the lens of race first, and everything else is way down here as far as like their ability to perceive and understand the world around them, then like, I'm sorry, you're an idiot. All right, so let's transition here. Let's talk about, here's some of the things I know are happening in our country right now, and I know that happened in this incident. And they revolve around what human nature is. And as you get older, you start to see patterns, and you start to understand how people work, the way humans, generally speaking, as a group, behave. There's all these subcategories: white people, black people, Asians, Mexicans, men, women, conservatives, liberals, right? We put human beings into all these other sub boxes, but human beings across the board have some common traits. We react in predictable, very predictable ways, given the right stimulus or stimuli. So human nature cannot be discounted here. And this is why history is important, because history, human history, right, is about the actions of societies across the course of history. And if you look at history broadly, you see the patterns. You see that the same thing happens if you create the right circumstances. So human nature cannot be discounted here. Number one, motivating a mob of people to do what you want them to do is not that hard. And it's why we have a democratic republic. Because without the republic part, without the electoral college, the founders knew that factions would destroy this country, which is what you're starting to see. But motivating a mob of people to do something that you want them to do, not that they came to do, but that you want them to do, is not that hard. And that's why I say there were Trump supporters, no doubt, in the mix here. But their motives, just like people say, you can't say Black Lives Matter is bad just because some people riot and loot. That's not what Black Lives Matter is. And that's, you know, this is coming from someone who was at a Black Lives Matter rally and was there for good reasons. And I've been consistent on that as well. There's tons of people who are at these Black Lives Matter protests who are there because they simply want to voice their concerns about the fact that they think, despite all the evidence to the contrary, that Black people in America are being targeted and killed by police officers specifically, right? That they're being singled out. And I've been consistent on this, that those people are not the same as the Antifa people or the other Black Lives Matter protesters / rioters and looters, right? There's all kinds of different gradations to these large groups of people. But no doubt some of those people get sucked in when they start to see everyone doing a certain thing, right? You see people running into retail store because the windows have been smashed and pulling TVs out and stuff. And it's like, oh, what the hell? You know, like everyone else is doing it. It makes it really easy, right? Peer pressure is a thing, a very powerful thing. How many instigators does it take to get a mob to build enough momentum in a mob of people that it takes over? Because that's really what it is. That's why mob rule is so dangerous, because once it gains a certain momentum, no one can stop that. And I think that's what happened here. I don't know the answer to how many instigators it takes, but I do know, and this is one of those things that I'm going to say I do know for as sure as I've ever been about a thing that is happening. I do know that there were instigators physically at this event that created the conditions and moved the massive people, moved the mob toward their goals, towards the goals of the instigators, not of the people who got caught up in it. And the same has been true at BLM rallies as well. Who are these instigators, right? Well, we have trolls. Everyone knows that there's bots and trolls online from, for example, foreign enemies. You have who knows how many fake accounts on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, whatever, that are just people, Russian hackers or whatever they are. I don't know what category to put them in, but their full-time job is to sit there on a computer and try to get people riled up, act like they're Bernie supporters or Proud Boys or whatever, and piss people off to create animosity, division, hatred, etc. Right? We know this is a fact. This is not new. If you haven't been paying attention, this is a thing, right? If we know that foreign actors, Russia, China, there's plenty of others, as well as domestic actors, right? There are domestic groups, including BLM, who want to destroy our institutions, our governmental institutions. They want to tear the system down as it exists. We know this is true. So to think that they're not going to, this was a pre-planned event. There's a video, I meant to pull this up. It's a dude who previously at a BLM rally was saying, we're going to rip Donald Trump out of the White House. We're going to burn it down. Literally, and he didn't mean this metaphorically. He was literally saying, we're going to burn it down. Right? They didn't that night. But, you know, he sent out to his following to be at this protest. Right? I mean, it's right out there in the open. And he's not the only influencer, that's the word, who was doing this. He's not the only actor who wanted to use this day and this event for his own agendas, right? He is one example. You have Russia, you have China. And it sounds conspiratorial. It sounds crazy, but only if you're willing to ignore the fact that anyone that thinks that Russia does not have people on the ground in the United States agitating is a fool. Same with China. It's not someone they just pulled off the street or, you know, like some Uber Chinese dude walking around. Like, they know what they're doing. You don't think we do this in other countries? Of course we do. You ever heard of a little thing called the CIA? To suggest that that is not happening is to suggest that the CIA isn't real. That we don't do the same thing. It's idiotic. It ignores reality and all common sense. So there are, and I say BLM, you know, there's domestic groups. You got Antifa, BLM, KKK. There's plenty of Proud Boys. There's a bunch that I don't know of or know about. I have a life. I don't spend my entire life online researching these groups. It's very interesting to me, but suffice it to say, there are plenty of domestic organizations, groups of people who want to generate chaos so that they can, for example, BLM, being a Marxist organization, wants to destroy our system of government as it exists. So how do you do that? You generate chaos and anarchy. So to suggest that these domestic groups, as well as foreign actors, are not there on the ground, we know that they're trolling online, which is a huge part of what brings these people together, right? How these rallies happen starts online. You get people riled up, pissed off at each other, saying all kinds of crazy stuff. You get them there in person, and then your instigators get them, again, riled up and moving in a certain direction for your purposes, not theirs. But once that mass gains a certain momentum, you cannot stop it. And that's how Ashley ends up dead. how Officer Sicknick ends up dead. So the one thing I know for sure is that we're being played. The United States of America is being played. There's no reason for the political right to have been behind this incident. No one is delusional enough, I hope, to think that this was going to change the results of the election. This could only be bad for Trump and for Republicans, for the political right. I mean, I'm watching this going, man, if this was coordinated somehow by people on the left side of the political spectrum, leftists, whatever, I mean, damn, they pulled that off well. Regardless, the Democrats are sitting back in just utter joy right now. Look at the media, the mainstream media, which is at this point just a speakerphone for the Democratic Party. Look at their reaction to this. They are drooling over this incident. I mean, and, you know, this is where the just blatant hypocrisy, which is not new, and the gaslighting. And when I say gaslighting, I know it's a common term now. Ben Shapiro has said it 1,000 times in the last year, probably more than that. I don't use it as much, but if you're new to that term, it comes from an old movie where a husband tried to drive his wife insane and he would dim the lights, the gas lights in the house. And then when the wife was like, are the lights getting dimmer? He'd be like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. You're crazy. Right? So gaslighting is saying you're crazy for seeing a thing that you know for a fact actually just happened in front of your eyes. The media are drooling over this. They consistently, well, first of all, their reaction to this is just kind of funny if it weren't so just terrible. They act so shocked that this protest got out of hand, and how did these police officers let it get this far, and why weren't they ready for it, and all this stuff. And it's like, holy shit. I guess our major cities across the United States for the past, since George Floyd, haven't been on fire. I guess Chaz Chop never happened. I guess DC wasn't on fire recently under the thumb of BLM. Huh. Yep, I'm crazy. I thought that happened. But the media says, no, this is the first time anything like this has ever happened. That's gaslighting. Because we all know that happened. And the media acts like, well, this is like, holy shit. Look at these Trump supporters. I can't believe this. They're threatening our democracy. The mainstream media. I am 100% about free speech and 100% against censorship, which is why I am going to say this. The mainstream media is one of, if not the greatest threat to our democracy today. They have sold their soul to the devil, and may result in the dissolution of the greatest country that human history has ever known. I hope I don't have to say I told you so. But the hypocrisy is just astonishing. And not only are the Democrats just enjoying every second of this, not only is the media just drooling over all the coverage they can get out of this and how they can spin this for their own agendas, for their own narratives, and for the Democratic Party. But our enemies, again, foreign and domestic, are just partying it up right now. I mean, the most powerful country in the world is falling apart, it appears. And that's a bit dramatic, but not really. We've been headed this direction for a long time. There's been a lot of talk about, you know, the risks that we could end up in a civil war. This is how those things start. people. You got citizens overtaking the federal Capitol building and getting shot. What if they had pressed on and tens, if not hundreds of people were killed by the police? Then what? What if it got so far out of control, the active duty military got called in? No rubber bullets there, people. Then what? Right? My wife always asks me, what do you think's going to, you know, I'm like, when this is happening, I'm like, shit, you know, I was going to the hardware store with my daughter to get some stuff. And I turned around and went home and took care of some things to make sure that we'd be ready if the poop hit the prop, so to speak. But that's how these things start. And what I say to my wife when she says, well, what do you think's going to happen? My response now, or the other day, was, you're looking at this wrong. If you're asking what does one person think is going to happen, you're not looking at this from a high enough level, right? You're too granular. You're missing the forest for the trees. The question is not what do I think is going to happen, but what does history tell us can and will happen, right? We already had a civil war in this country. Civil war is another common thing throughout human history. Also, no governmental system, no nation has lasted forever. We're already biding our time. And the way things have been going the last 12 years or so, it don't look good for us. We are headed down the wrong path. So our enemies are just, because if you're, again, coming back to this, we are the most powerful country, militarily speaking, that has ever existed. Yeah, I mean, do we want to go to war with Russia? No, not really. That would suck. Would we win? Yes. You don't take down a country like the United States head on. It's asymmetrical warfare. We do it to our adversaries. They do it to us. Social media has enabled that, and they have used it to great success. A house divided cannot stand. Russia, especially, has known this and been very open about their intent, their intentions of creating, of sowing discord, division, chaos, and creating anarchy in our country for a long, long time. This is not new. So that is why. Now I'm going to talk about BLM, kind of compare and contrast like the BLM riots and this riot, what it turned into, and the BLM protest, this protest, whatever, right? I'm going to compare and contrast those in a second. But earlier when I said that makes it easier to not hate the other side, this is what I'm talking about. We need to start acknowledging that we're getting played. I've been played. Now, I think what has been happening over the year after George Floyd and Black Lives Matter is definitely more of an organic grassroots movement. And my just visceral response to what they have been doing to our country has been mostly justified. But there are aspects to what BLM does and what happens at their protests and rallies turn riots and the looting and all that stuff that are driven, again, by other actors. And so it makes it easier to go, you know what? When I'm talking about the other side, I need to acknowledge that there are good Americans on the other side. that are getting played, just like good Americans on this side, or my side, whatever that is, are also getting played. Let's all acknowledge that we don't know who's behind all that's going on, but that there are subversive, foreign and domestic actors, agitators, who want us to hate each other. And if we do it, we're getting played. And they're benefiting from it, and we're suffering. If there's one thing that I hope everyone takes, everyone listening or watching takes from this, it's that. Start looking past what's right in front of your face and thinking about the bigger picture and what is driving all this right now. Because out there in the real world, interacting with people, actual people face to face, we don't all hate each other. I work with and live with and talk to people of all different political persuasions, cultural backgrounds all the time. And we get along just fine. So we need to stop getting played. So let's get to the compare and contrast game that the media is playing right now as they continue to drool all over their anchor desks. So, all right, first thing that comes out is the race card, right? When something like this happens and it's the political right, Trump supporters, it's like, holy shit, look at the way the police acted differently. It must be because of race. Cops are racist, therefore they're going to take it easy on these Trump supporters. Forget the fact that they killed one of them, right? Again, colorblind. Everything has to be seen through race first. Again, how long did DC burn under BLM? I believe they painted and renamed an entire, like, I don't want to say section of the city, but a big ass street, Black Lives Matter Plaza or some dumb shit. And I believe there's like a whole side of the White House that's fenced off and full of just crappy posters and pictures and a bunch of martyrs of BLM that died because they tried to kill police officers for the most part. I don't know. I thought that happened, but the media says it didn't. So I guess I'm crazy, right? A woman was shot and killed by a police officer. No one. What if she had been black? What would the media be talking about if Ashley was black? What would the media be talking about? We all know. If this had been a BLM rally that got out of hand as it did in this way, it would have been a much more dangerous affair. And if you look at how peacefully everyone left when the police said, okay, you know, when they got the resources they needed to actually deal with this size of crowd, and they said, all right, y'all got to leave. The whole different picture than what you saw around the country all summer long. It didn't look like a BLM riot when the police showed up. Now, there were plenty of officers that were hurt. So I'm not saying that there aren't similarities there. There absolutely were. But in the end, the ideology that brought the actual Trump supporters to this event stands in stark contrast to the ideology that drives BLM. So let's talk about that. Compare and contrast time. BLM hates the police. Now, some people might say, well, that's not fair. I support BLM. I don't hate cops. I just think that we need to deal with racial, pervasive and systemic racism, right? I'm talking about BLM. They hate the police. I mean, it's not just the police. They hate, thank you. They hate our country. They are colorblind. They look at history through one lens and cannot see the forest for the trees. Trump supporters, we're just going to call them Trump supporters because the media has decided all these people are Trump supporters. So we're going to use that terminology. But on the flip side, we're going to be fair. We're just going to say BLM. I'm not going to include Antifa, whatever, right? Like it's Trump. We're comparing Trump supporters and BLM. Well, Trump supporters are extremely blindly pro-police. I mean, in that video we just watched, they're very clear. They're not there for the cops. Now, there are videos where people are wrestling with the cops. There's one where the police officer is running up the stairs with someone right on his heels and a bunch more people behind that individual, that civilian. And the cop turns around and is like, he's got his baton out, trying to get the guy to stop. And then he'll turn. I don't have this video with me right now, but the officer will run up another flight of stairs with the guy just right on his ass. Number one, if there was ever a time where a Spartan kick would be applied to just magnificent effect, it was right there. That officer missed a wonderful opportunity to become famous, at least in the law enforcement realm. I would have Spartan kicked that motherfucker's ass down that entire flight of stairs. No doubt. Like, I mean, that's, you can't ever say for sure what you do in a certain situation, but yeah, that's my first go-to is a foot to the chest and just, you know, watch the aftermath, because that would have been freaking awesome. But yeah, so not ignoring the fact that police officers were hurt in this, but that's actually kind of the point. Trump supporters are extremely pro-police. And the point I'm getting to is that it wasn't just Trump supporters out there. One officer was killed. These Trump supporters, the guy in the video we just watched, is like, we had your back when everyone else hated you. Or I don't want to say hated, but we had your back when everyone else was against you. That is the ideology that drives the Trump supporters. That's why they're pissed off, because they're tired of seeing our police officers thrown under the bus and crucified for doing their damn jobs. They're tired of seeing criminals who victimize their communities, predominantly minority communities, for a living, turned into heroes because a cop shoots one of their dumbasses for doing something stupid. That's what Trump supporters are about when it comes to law enforcement. And one officer was killed. Now, again, I am willing to accept that maybe someone just got too into this and didn't intend to kill the officer, was just trying to get through. But I find it very unlikely that an actual, just regular conservative Trump supporter would kill a police officer. And it's very clear in these videos that most of them are intentionally trying to avoid physical confrontation with the cops. And it's also why I think you see, I mentioned earlier, when the one protester or riot or whatever you want to call him, Trump supporter, maybe, took a selfie with the police officer. Well, you have to understand these cops are completely outnumbered and the protesters aren't trying to kill them. They like the cops. So, I mean, kind of the smart thing to do, I guess, for these officers might have been to kind of hang out until they had enough reinforcements to deal with this crowd. All right, moving on. BLM versus Trump supporters. Well, BLM is a Marxist organization. They hate capitalism and our country, again, as it exists. So, by nature, they encourage, and this is not with, this is not just theory. They have been very clear that they even, you know, you can find all kinds of videos and quotes from people all the way up to Kamala Harris. Justifying and encouraging the rioting and looting, saying they're not going to stop. They shouldn't stop. Right? compare and contrast that with Trump supporters. They love capitalism because that's what has brought our country to where it is economically. They believe in protecting public and private property. They believe in property rights, in individual rights. So there's a huge contrast there. And again, the strange thing in relation to that is, well, how did all the property damage happen? How were the windows getting smashed? And we'll get to that in just 1 second, because there is one clear, blatant example of an Antifa member or someone who was not a Trump supporter trying to break glass on the Capitol building, and the crowd of Trump supporters was booing them and cheered when someone intervened and stopped them. A Trump supporter intervened and stopped this person, these people. I'll show that video in just a second. BLM seeks to destroy our institutions, our system of government, right? Because if the entire system is pervasively and systemically racist, you must burn it down and replace it with one that isn't. But you know, the reality is BLM wants to replace it with one that is, but is racist toward everyone else. Trump supporters seek to defend our most sacred institutions, like the Constitution. So again, it's very abnormal and surprising to see Trump supporters, quote unquote, attacking the Capitol building. BLM wants to burn it all down. Trump supporters want to build it back up. Make America great again, right? I mean, it's about building our country back up to greatness instead of destroying it. So there's they're on opposite ends of the ideological spectrum, and that explains in large part just naturally why this incident took place in a different way than what you've seen BLM rallies take place. But to suggest that the police were soft on these guys and that this only happened because it wasn't BLM is just complete bullshit. BLM has just ravaged this country for the better part of 2020, and the cops were told to stand down and basically just watch. So I'm sorry, but no. If you're going to say the cops have been soft on anyone, it's been BLM. A few strange things, though, that I notice in watching these videos and seeing the coverage. You know, one I just mentioned, several of these I kind of touched on, but this is one that isn't strange if, again, you acknowledge the reality that there are nefarious actors mixed into these crowds. And it's this scene right here in this video I'm about to show where these protesters chant, you know, they identify someone as Antifa and stop them from damaging the Capitol building. So let's watch this real quick. So Jackass 1 and 2 up there bashing the glass. And you can hear the crowd. So they're getting booed. This guy comes up and is in their face, tell them to knock it the fuck off. And that's essentially it. There's another one. It appears to be the same spot, the same doorway. And again, someone's up there trying to break that upper glass, and a Trump supporter in a MAGA hat comes and literally physically takes that person down, and the crowd cheers. And there's a woman, and I was trying to find this other video that I'm describing. The woman's near the person filming, if it's not the person filming, goes, you know, that's Antifa. That's Antifa. We have to stop them. And then right after that, the Trump supporter comes up and takes this guy down, and the crowd cheers. So if there's any indication what the motivation was for the actual Trump supporters, to me, that's the best tell. That was an organic situation where some agitators were in the midst of this crowd doing something that the predominant or that the Trump supporters are 100% against. And it fleshed itself out in this video and in the other one I just described, where the person smashing the window was tackled to the ground by a Trump supporter. You know, that is, again, if there's anything that indicates what the actual Trump supporters were about in this rally turned riot, whatever you want to call it, insurrection, I think is a bit far, but it's this. When the Trump supporters are saying, stop it, knock it off, booing the destruction of property on the state capitol or the federal capitol, and cheering when these people are stopped, it seems to suggest that maybe the Trump supporters were not the ones behind what happened. Now there's a photo of a guy who, you know, the guy with the horns, his face is painted an American flag. And initially I saw pictures of him, same dude, he's got tats that make him very easy to identify, of him at what was purported to be a BLM rally. It seems that's been debunked. I only say that because I know a lot of people have probably seen that by now. He's apparently a far right loony, QAnon kind of guy, who's been very active in his local area. So, and yeah, if you see the unedited, uncropped version of the video or the picture of him at a quote unquote BLM rally, where it says like fuck the police in the background, the sign he's carrying says Q sent me. So he's a crazy guy. But not necessarily, as far as we know, as far as he's been portrayed to be, not necessarily Antifa or BLM. He may very well be a far right loony. And that's another contrast between BLM and some of the nefarious far right loony bins, moonbats, as we call them. The right side of the political spectrum hates these people and is not controlled by them, whereas the left, the Democratic Party, is more and more every day being controlled by the far left. That is a huge distinction that I always make when I get into political conversations. Again, I'm not a Republican. I'm just looking at this from the outside in, seeing the difference between the two sides. One side is like, okay, tiki torches from Home Depot, you guys are fucking crazy, go away. And the other side's like, burn, riot, loot, jazz, chop. Hey, more power to you. Good job, guys. Right? It's a race to the left, and on the right side, it's like you go too far right, and nobody is down with that. So that's a huge compare and contrast or distinction that I think people miss a lot of times when it comes to the political conversation. But anyways, that guy is definitely a loony. Now there's another video of. Well, there's several videos of people protecting Trump supporters protecting the police officers. And that is what you would expect from a Trump supporter. They love the cops. They know that police officers are a good and necessary institution in our country. And they're tired of our police officers getting shit thrown at them, assaulted and killed because of the narrative pushed by BLM and the mainstream media. Now, there's another video where officers, I guess I already talked about this, but when the officers are like kind of opening the gates or the one officer is like, come on in, selfies inside the Capitol. These are other strange things. But again, I think the majority of that can kind of be explained or understood if you understand the context, right? You have a bunch of people who are very pro-police. Yeah, they're not supposed to be there, but they also aren't trying to hurt the police officers at the same time. So it's kind of a, you know, I'm going to survive for now. And the thing I haven't talked about, I talked about the fact that these cops might just be going, okay, I guess we'll just get along for now until we have more reinforcements. The other reality, and this is another thing that I'll say is for sure true, is that a lot of these police officers kind of agree. Police officers tend to be, because of the nature of the work that they do, and because of the type of personality that chooses to serve in law enforcement, or the kind of person, they tend to be on the right side of the political spectrum, more conservative. So there's no doubt that there are many of these Capitol police officers, especially because they're the ones that were there initially, trying to kind of like ebb or, curb the flow of people toward the Capitol and protect the Capitol. It's their job. There's no doubt many of them who are very sympathetic or 100% agree with what these protesters are saying. No doubt that many of them believe this election was stolen and that something needs to be done because our democracy is under threat. Because if the election was stolen, that's kind of, I guess it's not a democracy anymore, is it? You kind of have to do something about that if that's true. What I'm getting at here is that a lot of these police officers they agree. They are pro-Trump, probably, and they're very sympathetic to what these protesters are saying and doing. Does that mean these police officers wanted it to go as far as it did? Absolutely not. Obviously, none of them would want that because that's a great way to lose your job. But that's just a reality we have to acknowledge, that these cops, it's different. When you have a BLM rally, a bunch of people who are calling you racist and a murderer just because you wear a badge and you have devoted your entire career to protecting the very people who are yelling these things at you, that's a different situation than a situation like this where the crowd is full of people who are flying thin blue line flags and are very pro-police. Now, the last thing that I have in my notes here is that this was not organic. I think we've touched on this plenty, right? The fact that there are motivated actors driving these things and using these mobs to get what they want. But one of the actual physical forms of evidence that supports that is the fact that they found pipe bombs at the Republican National Convention headquarters and the DNC headquarters. They found one at the Republican side and one at the Democrat side. Now, does that scream partisanship to you? Or does that say maybe someone's just trying to stir up chaos and create anarchy? For me, it's number two, right? Molotov cocktails were found in a car along with a rifle nearby. These people had radios, ropes. They had supposedly had glass breaking specific tools that are designed to break glass, or like special hammers and stuff that, you know, are fashioned in a way that they break glass easier than like a normal hammer. Now, these are all things that were found and recovered or seen in this event. That's not spontaneous. You don't just walk around with a glass breaking hammer on you, or a car full of Molotov cocktails, or even pipe bombs for that matter. That's not part of the protest or the rally. That's a whole different thing. It was pre-planned. It's not organic. And those people who did, the very people who are planting pipe bombs and, you know, bringing these tools to help facilitate the incursion into the Capitol building, are also part of the same, some of them are part of the same groups who are intentionally motivating the crowd to basically help out, right? If you get the crowd to move toward the Capitol building, then you can move in the crowd and continue to blend in until you get the crowd all the way up against the building, and then you can smash a window, right? And then you can be like, yeah, get in there. These people are the same people. There's also witness testimony from people who are at the rally, you know, saying that they heard conversations between these agitators saying, you know, hey, we need to get these people riled up. What are we going to do? How are we going to get these people upset? How are we going to agitate this crowd? Right? There's witness testimony of these conversations between the people who are doing this, between the instigators. So I started this by saying my initial take, right? Initial observations and thoughts. And that still is what this is. You know, I've been talking for over an hour, almost an hour and a half on this. And this is my initial moderately educated take on this event. We'll never know for sure what happened on January 6th, 2021 in Washington, D.C. Completely. But I do know that our adversaries, foreign and domestic, were involved. Did their best to take this as far as they could, because all they care is that we hate each other, that our house remains divided, and that chaos and anarchy is sown into the American soil. And they did a smash-up job. That's a wrap for this one, ladies and gents. I hope you all enjoyed it. A bit long-winded, considering it's not an interview, but there's a lot to talk about here. I hope it all made sense. You know, every once in a while, I get someone who thinks I'm crazy and hates what I have to say, and I'm all right with that. Love you, too. But, you know, I'm always going to speak what I believe to be the truth, and that may change. If I am presented or find evidence and facts to conclude that what I once thought was true is not, right? I think that's just maturity, recognizing that you could be wrong. So I'm always open to that. If you have information that I didn't talk about here or debunks anything that I suggested or said here, send it to me. I'd love to see it. PoliceAcademyPodcast@gmail.com is a place to do that. If you want to communicate with me and or our other members in a real-time fashion, you need to become a member over at Patreon, patreon.com. And if you do that, regardless of what membership level you choose, our lowest one is like $4 a month, then you will have access to our private chat server. You can talk to all of our other members, all of our law enforcement members, past show guests, and me. So that's at patreon.com. Of course, don't forget, my scruff's getting in the way. Don't forget to check out Audible if you haven't, if you're looking at maybe getting into audiobooks. Highly recommend it. audibletrial.com/policeacademypodcast gives you 1 month for free. And you can cancel before the next month starts and you actually get charged. It's only like $15 a month. You get a free audiobook every month. And I have like over 50 audiobooks now in my library that I own. I'll have them for the rest of my life. I can go back and listen, take notes. You know, you can save clips as you're listening. You can just push a button and it saves that clip for like 30 seconds or a minute or whatever. So you can go back and just run through the clips of a whole entire book, right? You can just listen to the little bits that you wanted to kind of go back and listen to again. Really awesome service. I've used them for years and, I forget to mention them because we're really pushing the membership right now, but, I mean, it's still an awesome, awesome, service membership program to sign up for and will make you a more well-rounded, more knowledgeable, smarter, better person. So I still recommend it. audibletrial.com/policeacademypodcast. And, that's it for this one. Don't forget, hate the people who hate us. Let's not hate each other. We're all Americans, and we need to figure our shit out before it's too late. We'll see y'all next time. As always, do good, be strong, stay free.